The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, November the 1st. The Halloween hangover is real. We have Giants and Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And to break it all down, joining me, as he does every Monday and Thursday for the rest of time, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Will? How you doing?
I'm good. I have, like, you know, some high-level complaints about the general approach to Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving, Halloween, good Lord. This year in that, you know, how about Halloween is just the final Saturday in October?
Well, like, that was my question. So I just moved out to the suburbs, and this was our first Halloween out here. And so I was wondering, I'm like, is this a, and this me selfishly, because obviously we cover football, Sundays are a little bit busy for us this time of year. I was like, do they do it on like the Saturday? Like if it's the kids running around, like, nope, on the day.
It I'm is. Like, it is. The right. Well, but here's the problem. So if Halloween, and we spent like the goal of this podcast, let's keep it tight.
That's not right.
The very quick high level issue is that we did something Friday night with friends for Halloween. We did something Saturday night or Saturday evening. And then Sunday, you actually trick or treat. So just pick a day. Like, Thanksgiving is not on, you know, November X every year. It's on the third Thursday or whatever. How about we just do that with Halloween? Because, you know, like, I'm walking around the neighborhood streaming Bucks Saints on my phone. Like, trying to, like, you know, make sure my son doesn't get run over as he's sprinting across the street in a Sussy Baca costume. Anyway, if you want to see me in dumb child costumes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/pick6. You can also watch me and Sully every Monday and Thursday. And, of course, you can see us go live Monday, Thursday, and Sunday, Monday, and Thursday nights after the primetime games. We go live on YouTube. We're trying to give away a T-shirt on Sunday night, and I think we're going to try and do that tonight after Giants and Chiefs. Tuesday will be a 1:00 p.m. will be the mock draft show live on YouTube. 3:30 p.m. will be the live trade deadline reaction show, and then on Thursday 1 p.m. we have the pick show live on YouTube. Tons of YouTube content. Make sure and hit the subscribe button. And if you're watching on YouTube, tell us who you think will score the first touchdown on Monday Night Football. Press the like button as well while you are there. Giants, Chiefs holds a hefty 10.5-point spread as of Monday morning around 11 a.m. The total here, 52, Sully. And we saw some buyback on this where it got down to like 9.5. People were kind of hitting the Giants pretty hard. But the injury report is not exactly friendly to the Giants. Saquon Barkley has been ruled out. Kenny Galladay has been ruled out. Lorenzo Carter also already out, as is Carter Coughlin. Multiple wide receivers listed as questionable, Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney. We won't know until game time for them. Mike Rimmers is questionable for the Chiefs. Anthony Hitchens and Kalen Saunders are both ruled out. Looks like Chris Jones should be back. Travis Kelce and Daryl Williams both had full practice on Saturday, as did Joe Tooney and L'Jarius Sneed. Antre Smith, banged up a little offensive line there. And another player on the Chiefs injury report,
Tyron Matthew,
had full practice. So those guys should be good to go. But, you know, remains to be seen, and it matters for DFS and for props with Tony and Shepard. What do you think about the spread and this total?
And one thing about Shepard and Tony, too, they were limited in practice this week. I know, I think Shepard didn't practice the first practice of the week, but then they both were at least on the field in some capacity. So there's at least optimism that they will be able to play in this game. It's not like they didn't practice. Like, I know, like, DeAndre Hopkins, like, during going up to that Thursday night game, didn't practice all week, which made you a little bit nervous, even though he didn't end up playing in that game. But he was in and out for, you know, for a little bit of that. So just, you know, at least you're seeing them on the field. So that's something that's encouraging. But to me, I still like the Giants, even though they're banged up. Another injury that we didn't even bring up there was Peppers. He's out for the season now, dealing with a torn ACL. So that's another one. But still, you're talking about 10.5 points going up against a defense that's allowing 6.6 yards per play, the highest in the NFL coming into week 8. It's just the Chiefs don't give you a lot of confidence right now. 2-5 against the spread this season, which is like the second worst, tied for the second worst in the NFL. And I have faith in Daniel Jones, who is sneakily having a solid season so far, to be able to go up against that secondary and make some plays and keep this game relatively close. I probably think the Chiefs are going to win, but I do think the Giants are going to cover.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, as far as the total goes, I don't really want to get in front of it, because you have some unknowns with the Giants pass catchers, and you see this list and it's like, all right, seems like both offenses are at least getting a little bit healthier, and both defenses are pretty bad. You know, the Giants are coming off a performance where they allowed the Panthers to score 3 points, but that was really more about Sam Darnold than it, and sort of that game flow. That game was like 3-5-3 and late in the third quarter. It's just a miserable football game. The Chiefs can't stop anybody. And if you're betting on the Chiefs, in my opinion, you are betting on Kansas City, you know, kind of running out to, they have to come out of the gates blazing hot, run up the score, and then hold on to a lead late, which you don't really feel confident in them doing. It just feels like the back door should be wide open for Daniel Jones. And I think you can look back at some of the games on Sunday that had huge totals, right? Where Cincinnati, you know, they're up, yeah, you know, they're 10.5 point favorite, granted, on the road. And I don't want to say like the Bengals aren't the Chiefs, but I mean, the Bengals have been better than the Chiefs this year. So it's hard to
They were the number one seed in the AFC going into week 8. So, I mean,
there's something to be said for that. They lost to the Jets, and now the new number one seed is the Titans, who also lost to the Jets, which
it's getting weird.
Yeah, it's spooky season. I mean, my point being is that, like, I cannot in good conscience lay 10.5 with the Chiefs here. You just can't do it. And the thing that concerns me is that the line came down to 9.5 and then jumped back up to 10.5. I think, anyway.
I believe it was around, like, you know, before, I think it was even before, like, the early line was around like 13.5 for this game. And then it, you know, after the events of week 7, it kind of settled back down to around 10, then really dipped down to 9. And I thought it sat for 10 for a while. I even think last night it was sitting at 10, and it's bumped up a half point since going into this game on game day morning. So something to think about there, which kind of concerned me for, you know, you see that number go up a little bit. I'm like, do they know something about these receivers that we don't know about?
Well, I mean, it's 9. You're like, I like the Giants plus 10.5. Just too many points. Chiefs not playing very well. And then it drops down to 9.5. You're like, yep, I was right. Like I said, it might move down. And now it's like shoots back up to 10.5. You're like,
Right.
It makes you nervous. Like, why is that line flying towards the Chiefs? Across a key number, in theory, at 10 on game day, that scares the crap out of me. The Chiefs could blow out the Giants.
Of course. I mean, you know, if you go back just, you know, if you go back the last season, even just say, hey, listen, Giants, Chiefs, 10.5. You're like, please, come on now. This thing should be 14, 13.5. No problem at all. You should be able to cover this. They can blow doors against this team. But the Chiefs just haven't been – you have to look at what you've seen this year. They just haven't been a – they're a very talented team, but they're not really well put together when they actually get onto the field. The offensive line's still dealing with issues. That defense, we all know, has had a ton of issues. Again, like I said, allowing 6.6 yards per play this season, which is, like, by far the most in the NFL. That's actually come down a little bit. I think it was around, like, 7.5, which was, like, the most all time. So, you know, I guess they're getting better, but, like, you know, not by much. And you have Daniel Jones, who's playing well, and he's going to get some weapons back, we assume, in Tony, in possibly Shepard. So, again, I just think if you have even those weapons at your disposal, even without a Golladay, even without a Saquon Barkley, you should be able to do enough damage through the air to keep this thing close.
Sure. And there's a major backdoor potential here. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was going to point out too, is like on Sunday, you know, the Rams are up 38 to nothing in the third with like 8 minutes here in the third quarter. I mean, it's, you know, you are, if you bet on the Rams minus 16 and a half, you are living a sweat-free life. It isn't like there's no chance you are going to lose that bet. And you lost it anyway because the Texans scored 22 points in like 5 minutes against a good Rams defense. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're dealing with double-digit point spreads, things just get a little dicey. The Chiefs were 13-5-1 against the spread in 2019. Mm-hmm. Very popular team. You know, they blew people out. The books, you know, sports books adjusted 8-11 in 2020. And thus far in, and I'm using teamrankings.com for this, thus far in 2021, they are 2-5 against the spread. They're just not a very good covering team. No. They're not a very good team in general. You know, when you have a team like Kansas City that is always a huge favorite and still manages, isn't managing to win football games, they're probably not going to be covering either. So that is a concern there. I mean, I'm taking the 10.5 and you're just not talking me into laying 10.5 for the Chiefs, but I don't really like anything on the total. Honestly, I don't love this game in general.
Yeah, no, I don't really want to touch the total in this at all, really. 52.5, that seems like a high number, you know, just with the way that both of these teams are playing. I mean, you know, we're talking up the Giants a little bit, but they're still like the 27th ranked offense in DVOA. And again, a lot of that has to do with injuries, but they're still not 100%. Still don't have Barkley, still don't have Golladay. Again, they might get those guys back, but still, it's not an entirely complete offense. So you're still kind of having questions about what they were able to do. Like you said earlier, you know, they did win, 25-3 last week against Carolina, but that was like 3-2.
It was like 5-3 in the late,
you know, or whatever it was.
Yeah, they scored 20 garbage kind of points. If you're going to hang your hat on one trend, this is the one I think I would hang my hat on. Daniel Jones, as an underdog on the road in his career, 72% against the spread. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
I think it's Giants or bust for me against the spread. And if I'm betting the total, I'm probably betting the over, but I don't really want to bet it. Because they're just, both defenses are just capable of giving up huge plays. And, you know, I think Kansas City, you know, the run game is down to Darrell Williams. So I would bet the over if you have to bet a total. I would bet the over, and I would take the Giants. The Giants would be my bet here. I think we're on the same page in terms of those bets. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll hit some player props.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What we need, Sully, is a game that doesn't feature a ton of injuries, which doesn't really happen in the NFL in weeks 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, but we've had some weird ones, especially where it's like, you
know, that's what I'm saying. Like, we've had like Davante Adams last Thursday, you know, what do you do with that? Because it's impossible to adjust. We've had like all these big stars are just questionable, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it's not even that there's big injuries. It's like we don't know the statuses. Like, you know, if we were talking about like Saquon Barkley, he's ruled out. You look at Booker, you know, you can easily make that switch.
Running back spots are not a problem.
But
Caesars currently has. They have Evan Ingram props and they have Devontae Booker props. They have no Giants wide receiver props, and they're probably not going to until we get, you know, until Monday Night Countdown starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for this, you know, 8 o'clock game.
And as we always note, this also impacts like first touchdown props, which we love. You know, it just moves things around.
Like we're living in a world where we'll touch on first touchdown props, but like I looked at it, it's Byron Pringle's 15-1. You want me to bet on Byron Pringle at 15-1 for first touchdown? What are we doing? In the words of Taylor Twellman, what are we doing? Anyway, player props. What do you like from a prop perspective?
I think my favorite one, or at least one of my favorite ones, the one that stood out to me the most, and I think you have this one as well, is Patrick Mahomes is over 19.5 rushing yards. That one to me makes a ton of sense. He's hit the over on this in 5 straight games coming into Monday night. Again, they don't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's Darrell Williams. They're kind of changing up the running back situation. I think they're going to use Mahomes a little bit more. And again, that's just not that high for somebody who I don't think, you know, he's a mobile. He's not like Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson, but he's a very mobile quarterback. They will design some runs for him. Absolutely. So to me, 19.5, I'm smashing that over.
Yeah, I think this is actually mispriced and should be closer to 23.5 or even 24.5. Mahomes has rushed 4 in his last 5 games, 45, 26, 61, 31, and 35 yards in all of those games. Here's the thing. You look at his rush yards, and these aren't designed runs. These are scrambles and leaving the pocket early and picking up first downs. This has sort of been a theme. Now, this would be the concern about the Mahomes rush yards, is that the Chiefs, coming off of an embarrassing and humiliating 27-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans, where they scored their lowest point total in the history of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid working together, that Reid and Mahomes, who has I have a froggier voice than Mahomes today. They go back in the lab and they really got laser locked on keeping Mahomes in the pocket, keeping him comfortable. And, you know, as we mentioned, the offensive line, some issues there from an injury perspective, but Trey Smith, Joe Tooney, both full practice, should be good to go. And that Mahomes against the Giants, you know, defense, it's not elite by any stretch of the imagination, is able to stay in the pocket, make the throws. They get a lead. They pound the ball with Darrell Williams. And who else are they running with here?
They're not running with Jerick McKinnon, but he's available.
Right. He would be Derek Gore. Jeez Louise. I'll tell you, the other bet, I'm going to add something here too, is Patrick Mahomes over pass attempts. They're going to have to they don't really have a run game here.
Yeah.
If they get a lead, I don't know that they're going to be able to their defense isn't good enough to just pound the ball and play defense. So.
No, it's not. You have to almost keep your foot on the gas. It's not like Los Angeles against the Rams last week. You can kind of take your foot off the gas and, let Houston get back into this game.
Oh yeah, Rams, Texans.
They can't afford that.
Correct. Yeah. They're too far down in the standings. They're not in the playoffs right now. This is a massive game for the. It's kind of a must-win game for the Chiefs on Monday night as a 10.5 point favorite. It's kind of insane to say. But my point being is that the pathway to losing the Mahomes over rushing yards is they get a lead. And he's not running for his life, and they're very clearly concentrated on him staying in the pocket and winning from the pocket. I mean, that is clearly a problem for this team, is that Mahomes is pressing because he's worried about about the defense not being able to stop anybody, and he's teams are running the ball and chewing up clock against a bad KC defense, and they're minimizing possessions for the Chiefs, and Mahomes is. That's what he's doing. He's bouncing from pockets early. He's pressing, and that's why his rushing yards are up. So that would be the problem, but this should really be 24.5. And we could easily see that going over. You like the over on Daniel Jones passing yards as well.
Yeah, and this one I think is something we kind of need to highlight a little bit, almost in the same vein that we highlighted how the line here went up from 10 to 10.5 overnight from Sunday into Monday. The Daniel Jones passing yards, and again, I say this every week, but I write a story about, a piece that almost, goes with this podcast. I write it usually on
sports.com.
Exactly. There you go. Shameless plug. But I write it on Sunday nights and, just to get us ready for the week. I look at it going into this podcast. That number is actually lower than it was last night. So we're looking at Daniel Jones is over 243.5 passing yards. Last night it was 246.5. So you know, almost when we're talking about these wide receivers saying, does Vegas know something? Does Caesars know?
Like red flag. Alarms or sirens are going up. I kind of want now.
The antenna is going up a little bit where it's like, okay, you know, the it's going a little bit more in favor of the Chiefs. Jones's passing yard totals are going down. That's something, that's a trend where you got to at least have your antennas raised a little bit. I still like it. Obviously, he's going up against the secondary that hasn't been good. And I know, you know, we're talking about limited pass catching weapons potentially. But again, the Chiefs are allowing 275.7 passing yards per game, well above this passing yard prop. Jones is someone who can throw the ball pretty effectively down the field, whether it's to Darius Slayton, who we know is going to be playing in this game. He's healthy for it. So to me, I still like it, but that is something we should highlight to say, hey, listen, you know, there are some trends going in a different direction here.
For sure. I like Jones over interceptions just to have, like, he needs one pick. It's Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
He needs one interception. Now it's minus 145. So, you know, you gotta lay the juice, but like, I mean, that could hit on the first play of the game. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. It wouldn't be shocking at all. Tyreek, I have Darrell Williams over rush yards as well. As we, you know, as you mentioned, their depth chart right now, unless I'm missing somebody, is Darrell Williams, Jarrett McKinnon, and Derek Gore. I think you could, you know, it's a 10.5-point favorite at home on a Monday night. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That should be like 65 or 70, even though we don't really think of Darrell Williams as some feature back, right? They're going to run the ball. And the Giants are 22nd in DVOA against the run. It's just too low. Like, There's one guy to run the ball. I mean, that's the analysis there. You have Travis Kelce over receiving yards. I don't mind it. I liked Tyreek Hill's both props over rush yards, a half rush yard, and over receiving yards, 79.5. You know, again, like I don't think the Chiefs are going to come out and just light it up for 40 points, but if the Chiefs come out and have some great defensive game, that's the weird script that would screw up this stuff. And you would still potentially get there with Darrell Williams on the rush yards. I just, you know, tend to think that Tyreek Hill is probably going to have more than that against a Giants defense that is 16th in DVOA against the pass.
Yeah, I just get a little nervous about the Tyreek Hill rushing yards prop that you have. Obviously, it just has to get 1 yard. I mean, it's not that difficult. But he's only been really given like one carry a game this season. So he usually rips it off for like 20 yards on some sort of reverse or whatever.
This is really not even about, it's not even about over rush yards. It's about over carries, honestly.
Sure.
Like, yeah. If he gets one carry, he's going to get over a half yard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Like, that's exactly what it is. And you just have to hope that his speed, you know, breaks out and he's not hitting the backfield and you're good to go.
He has, in seven games so far, he has hit this over 5 times.
Yep.
With one carry in each game. It's not even a over. It's not even like it's will Tyreek Hill get a carry? And will you be sweating the jet sweep he runs near the goal line on the 1 yard line? You know, and like, is it a pitch or, you know, is it a carry or is it a catch?
Yeah. Is it that little front flip
that Mahomes does? Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is like, does he get a carry? Mm-hmm. And if he gets a carry, it will go for positive. It will go for more than 1 yard because Tyreek Hill is super fast. And then you win. If he doesn't get a carry, then we lose. That's very
easy to break it down that way.
The only other one I had was Devontae Booker over rush yards. Don't feel good about that by any stretch of the imagination, you know, but it's kind of a low number here for let's do the math, right? No Saquon Barkley. Okay. So that's part one of the equation. We have Jason Garrett as an offensive coordinator. That's part two of the equation. We have a depth chart that features, okay, I mean, am I missing somebody that they have running the football? It looks like Gary Brightwell. Do the Giants have more than that behind Devontae Booker? I mean, there's nobody. What a bad running back game. So there's nobody there. The Chiefs are, I believe, 31st in rush defense DVOA. Like, you know, I don't think Devontae Booker is a superstar or anything, but Jason Garrett's going to give him 15 carries. 50 yards is just too low for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And lastly, for me, I know we quickly mentioned it on the Kelce thing. Kelce's probably, you know, we'll talk about obviously in the DFS portion of this, but also he's my favorite captain, but also he's my, this is my favorite prop I have just because, you know, 78.5 seems like a really high number. But when you talk about the volume that Travis Kelce gets, he's had double digit targets. And I believe four of the last five games, if I have that right. And the Giants are allowing 9.2 yards per reception to opposing tight ends this season. You know, you talk about the type of volume that Kelce gets,
a lot,
the defense that he's going up against, and it just feels like, again, he's going to be earmarked for at the very least 9 to 10 targets in this game. And if he's efficient, we're talking him going well over that number if the defense continues to play poorly against tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So if it's 9 point, I mean, his, we say 9.2?
9.2 per catch.
His reception total is like 6.5, and it's over minus 140 or something. So, I mean, yeah, you probably need, if he gets, if you probably need, what, eight or nine catches. I mean, but and that's if he only, if every single one is 9.2 yards. Kelce's right, depth of target is probably going to be bigger than that. Yeah, I mean, like he could, I mean, he's averaging, what is he averaging per catch on the year? It's like 6.4 catches per game. And why can I not find this? Somehow? Oh, 11.8 yards per reception.
Pretty good.
It's good. It's a good setup for Kelce. Very quickly, we'll do, we're going to do first touchdown. And then if you want DFS, it'll be on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Tell us who your favorite first touchdown scorer is. I mentioned the Byron Pringle thing off the top, man. What am I supposed to do? Bet on Byron Pringle 15-1 to be the first touchdown scorer? I'm not doing that. That is annoying. As my son, you're annoying me. We both have Patrick Mahomes at 25-1 last night, 22-1 for Patrick Mahomes. He's 20-1 now. Oh man. Patrick Mahomes 20-1 or better is probably a good price.
Yeah.
He could run it near the goal line. Wouldn't be surprising at all. He bootlegs all the time. Rushing quarterbacks with rushing equity near the goal line are at 20-1 is a bet. I would guess Mahomes closes at 18-1 or something like that. It's really tough. I had Dante Pettis at 26-1, but that is entirely dependent on what happens with Kadarius Toney and Sterling Shepard. Shepard's 12-1 and he's questionable. Like, what do we do? Like, if I'm betting on a 12 receiver at 12-1 who's questionable. Evan Engram 18-1 is, I guess, a little interesting. Darius Slayton 19-1. You have him. He's actually moved up a little bit. You know, I don't mind Slayton at 19-1 either. But it all depends on our Shepard and Toney playing in this game. I don't even see, is Toney even on the list?
No, he's not on there. And we're pretty like-minded on this, where it's like, you know, we like Mahomes just because of the values there, and then we're kind of picking our Giants wide receiver just to see what happens. For me, Slayton, again, totally dependent on if we see these guys. So I wouldn't bet it. I wouldn't bet this yet. I would wait to find out what's going to happen with obviously the wide receivers. We say that every week, but you know, just good to hammer
that home. Yeah. I mean, it matters. Like you don't want to bet on Dante Pettis at 27-1 and then Kadarius Toney and Sterling Shepard are playing and Dante Pettis is just not going to see any snaps.
Exactly.
Especially like red zone, like, you know, high value touches, as Ben Gretsch likes to say. The other guy that I think is actually worth a little look at 30-1 that we can add, producer Chris, is Kyle Rudolph.
Okay.
You know, even though Rudolph, like, he's not the number one tight end. You know, Evan Engram's there. And Evan Engram, what did I say? Evan Engram was 18-1. I mean, this Byron Pringle thing is really sticking with me. I don't know why. It really bothers me. But Kyle Rudolph, for years in Minnesota, was a red zone weapon. They like to get, you know, they're going to put two tight ends. They're going to, you know, like bigger formations, and they'll leak out Kyle Rudolph in play action. He caught a touchdown. I think he got the first touchdown against the Panthers last week. Just a guy that they will use in the red zone. So Rudolph, I would throw on there, is 30-1. It's not a bad long shot as well. Anybody else for you?
No, I think that's it. I mean, for me, just again, Slayton, wait and see what happens. I do like him in the sense that him and Jones have at least have history of having a rapport, particularly hitting those downfield shots. We talked how poor the KC secondary's been. So again, wait and see. Wouldn't love it if Toney and Shepard are playing, but honestly, still wouldn't surprise me. So if you love Slayton, you might as well wait anyways, because if Toney and them play, that odds are only going to get better.
Yep, agreed completely. All right, that's it for the gambling version of or gambling portion of this this program, we are going to head on over to YouTube to tell you about the DFS plays for this game. Thanks for listening. Go subscribe on YouTube and hit that like button.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.